It is very difficult. It's to be the smartest guy at high school and then to become the dumbest guy at Harvard.
it's difficult.
In 1 month, right? And it's like, wait a minute, there's a whole new level of intelligence. There's a whole new level of aspirations that I didn't know existed before. And that's exciting as well, but also difficult. So I really struggled at Harvard because my self-esteem got crushed. Everybody around me is better looking, smarter, richer, and has better opportunities and was working for JP Morgan and Deutsche Bank and Facebook and all that stuff. And I was like, shit, what do I do? Let me do a startup.
Yeah.
You know?
And was it disappointing in a sense that there's like this idealization that occurs when you imagine in New York City, or in my case, it was New York City, but also Paris, for example, that there's like this romantic idealization of the city that when you visit the city, it's not that it's not great, but it doesn't reflect exactly what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
In your case, Harvard, well, it's like probably the most famous university in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there like a dissonance in what you expected and what it actually is?
So people at Harvard are smart, but you know, we think of them as geniuses outside. The reason why I wanted to apply there is because I met a Harvard student and he wasn't as smart as I thought he would be. And I was like, wait a minute, you are human. I am human too. I can apply as well. So when you see something in real life, it becomes normal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love making videos, because I show you things that are normal, and we need to normalize the enemy. We need to normalize the super smart and the super not smart. You know, it's everybody's just human.
Yeah.
So you know, Harvard students are smart and smarter than me, but they're not geniuses.
Yeah. And that's empowering.
Yeah.
Because you realize that this idealized version of a Harvard student is shares the same, like goes to the bathroom, poops, and has like,
exactly.
It's a human being, and that's it's empowering. Yeah.
Yeah. And now Nas Daily, we're like, what we've built is one of the most successful things to come out of the Harvard class of 2014.
And that's like the purest form of motivation, no?
Yes.
Thinking, this guy is really impressive, but I can do that. That's an empowering way of seeing life. I actually find a similar motivation in this podcast, because I get to talk to people who I really admire, including you.
Thank you.
Speaking to people humanizes them, and that's really empowering.
Yes.
And I think why this format is really popular right now, because you get to talk to people for 1 hour, 2 hours, and there's no character that can last for 2 hours, and you end up talking with like the realest version of themselves, and it's empowering.
Oh, that's there's indirectly, no character.
Indirectly, it's empowering.
There's no character that can last for 2 hours. You're right, actually.
And I find that
unless you're speaking to Tom Hanks or something.
Yeah, unless you're speaking like to a professional actor.
Or like media-trained CEOs.
Yeah, but improvising is hard. Like,
yeah.
Maybe these methodic actors like James Franco or Jim Carrey
who
really sink in their character, maybe they could hold it up. But it's going to be a big challenge. Huh?
Yeah, but that's an interesting idea, which is you become the average of the five people around you.
Yeah.
That's why community is the most important thing, right? When you surround yourself with like five successful people, you become the sixth successful person. If you surround yourself with five drug addicts, you become a drug addict.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. We are social animals and we become the people around us.
Yeah.
So because of that, I think everybody should be careful of who their friends are, who they let in their life, and who they hang out with. And they should join communities and follow social media pages that are aspirational.
Yeah.
Not entertaining or funny or comedic. Aspirational, only aspirational friends. That's it.
Yeah. And I believe that to be true in friendship and in other facets of life, because mostly we are surrounded by symbiotic relationships. We design our spaces, but our spaces design us back.
Yeah.
And our people, our community, it's the same way. We design our community, but our community designs us back. And we enter these feedback loops where the growth or the lack of growth is also exponential.
Wow.
Because
that is very true.
We talked about the length of the comments, which I found really interesting, but you also talked about the quality of the comments.
Yes.
How do you recognize or know which type of critique to take in consideration and which type to ignore?
So I've realized that you cannot You just cannot please everybody every time, everywhere. That's impossible. So I've come to also only take feedback now from people I respect. Mm. So, and people that are, that have seen more than me. So if somebody in the comment section is like a PhD scientist at University of Princeton, and then writes a long comment about the of the video, I will watch and read and listen to that comment. But if like a, you know, a 13-year-old kid, you know, somewhere in a village writes an intolerant comment saying that I don't like Muslims or I don't like Jews, then you probably want to ignore that person because their opinion actually does not matter. Not every opinion is equal. Every human is equal, but not every opinion is equal. And that every content creator must understand. Because we always say, oh, humans are equal, therefore opinions are equal. Not true. Some opinions do not deserve to actually be taken into consideration.
Yeah. So you have this pool of opinion which you take into consideration, but then where does your intuition take part of? Like you take this feedback and then you make the final choice? That's how it works?
Yes, yes. Another thing I think for content creators is, and community builders is, if you are trying to please 100 people, 100% of people, it's going to be impossible. So at this point in my life, I am very happy if I please 75%.
Okay.
75% is what I aspire to please.
How do you come up with that number? Because I think there's an answer to that.
Because I think it's like, resistance is good. The more resistance you get, the more you know that you're saying something different.
Yeah.
Like imagine if I say, love everybody. 100% of people will agree. But imagine if I say, love everybody. I mean, if I say something like, every human is equal, but not every opinion is equal.
Yeah.
Not everybody will agree with that because it's a new idea. New ideas always get resistance.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yeah, it's like creating a sane or a good level of dissonance in the public conversation.
It's good to push.
Yeah, because then you're saying something that it's really obvious.
Yes.
So I don't know, like 75% sounds good to me as well.
What's your number?
Yeah, I would say 70%, 75%.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so I agree with that. But yeah, I've never worded in that way. But I think, for example, in content creation and in ideas in general, you need to get away from indifference and from neutrality. In a way, saying something is negating another thing.
Yes.
So that's gonna generate some negative opinions, which are expected.
Yes.
And when you talk that your content or your videos are being consumed by millions of people, probably that 10-20% is gonna translate to millions of people.
Millions of people.
And it's fine. It's okay.
And there's nothing unique about us.
Yeah.
Every politician in the world. The politicians that changed the world the most had 50% approval rating, right? So half of America hates Obama. Another half loves him. But he changed so much that I think for the better in the world. So, you know, even if you get 50% approval, you're still doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because the comments tend to reflect, well, I don't know if you agree with this, but mostly negative stuff, because I have like this hypothesis that there's like this silent majority that consumes content and goes, that's fine, that's okay.
It was good. Yeah.
But doesn't interact, doesn't like, doesn't comment.
Correct.
I think there's a bigger audience that maybe likes or dislikes the video, but there's a really small niche that comments.
Yeah.
So comments don't tend to reflect what actually is the perception of some piece of content. And you can check like
completely.
A video which is filled of negative comments, and you look at the analytics and you will realize that, there's 70% approval rate.
Yes.
But the content don't reflect that.
Exactly.
The comments, don't reflect that.
Exactly. And it's called the loud minority.
Yeah.
We have to be very careful of the loud minority because they can change things. Okay, here's something very interesting. If you look at America, almost many, many products are kosher. You know what kosher is?
No.
Kosher basically means it's like, it's fit to be eaten by religious Jewish people.
Okay.
But if you look at the population of America.
Like the New York, the kebabs are kosher food? Like the New York, there's the halal, or how is it called?
Like halal. Halal is for Muslims. Yeah. Kosher is for Jews.
Okay. Oh, kosher for Jews.
But the people in America that follow kosher food rules is 0.1%.
Okay.
But 50, 60, 70% of the food is kosher in America. Why is that? Because the 0.1% was very invested, very vocal in making sure that the food is kosher. Same with halal food, right? So this is actually a good thing. It means that you could be very few people, but you could affect change at a very large scale.
Yeah.
So the question is, we are 0.1% of the world for things that we believe in. If we are vocal enough about it, and if we care enough about it, we can change the world for 70% of people. And that's inspiring. That's not a bad thing. That's like a great thing.
Yeah.
We can change the world.
Yeah, it's inspiring because you realize the potential of a viral piece of content which is scripted and shared in the right way.
Yes.
But it's I think I've never thought of that, but it's also probably the premise of why Twitter works.
Yes.
Because Twitter doesn't represent the majority of people, but it's really vocal. And it has the potential of becoming world news.
Yes.
And it starts with a tweet.
In a tweet. Yeah, yeah. And I'm always shocked.
Yeah.
Like a tweet with like 50 likes makes the news, and an Instagram video with 500,000 likes doesn't make the news. And that's all because of the vocal 0.1%. How can you be part of that 0.1%? That's the goal.
Hola, soy Roberto Martínez y te quiero recordar que este episodio completo y todos los demás de mi podcast creativo están disponibles totalmente gratis en YouTube y en Amazon Music. Por allá nos vemos.